Conference record has joined the conference.
All right, guys, we are ready to go as long as you are.
Okay.
All set. All right, awesome. I'm going to give a little introduction. This is Dylan Muhlberg of Grateful Web here with Bay Area rock legends Stu Allen and Greg Anton. Greg was the founding drummer of the Bay Area rock band Zero, a band that toured extensively through the 80s and 90s as a pivotal force in the psychedelic music revival. He has since contributed extensively to dozens of different projects and recordings, including Moonalus, Steve Kimmock Band, and played with Wavy Gravy and Bob Weir. Stu Allen's guitar and soulful vocals have gained him respect and adoration in the scene as one of the premier channels of Jerry Garcia's music and far beyond. His years on the road with Melvin Seals and the JGB have led him to other exciting projects and collaborations, including, most recently, a fabulous surprise three-night sit-in with Phil Lesh and friends at the Brooklyn Bowl in Las Vegas. They're here today to talk about their project, The Rock Collection. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Dylan.
Yeah, thank you for supporting the music, Dylan.
Yeah, Grateful Web is definitely a huge fan of both of your guys' work. So what musicians did you listen to and admire when growing up?
Greg.
Stu Allen.
I wasn't alive when you were growing up, Greg.
I listened to instrumental music, John Coltrane, Miles Davis stuff, and I listened to rock and roll, the British bands, the Stones and Beatles, and the California bands, Quicksilver and Grateful Dead and Santana, that kind of stuff.
Excellent. And you, Stu?
Well, you know, I listened to whatever was on the radio when I was growing up, but I'll tell you, to this day, two guys or groups that just through the years continue to surprise me. When I found out that I was listening to them, I didn't know. When I'm sure you've had the experience of saying through the years, wow, that's also the Beatles? I had no idea. Maybe I'm young, and this is unique to being late to the party, but music that I had heard, I would later find out, like, wow, that's the Beatles too. And the same with, wow, Bob Dylan wrote that song also? Amazing. So, there's just a couple.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much, guys. I take it that it wouldn't be an assumption saying that both of you are part of the Grateful Dead's extended musical family. How did the Bay Area psychedelic music revolution aid and or inspire the music that you two play?
Well, go for it, Stu.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Basically, the question is that you're both part of the Bay Area music community, which in its thriving moment in the late 60s with bands such as Quicksilver and the Grateful Dead and the Airplane fostered a certain sort of ethic in playing. And I just wanted to ask, what about being part of that community inspires the music that you play?
A certain ethic. I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, I just maybe I can just hone in on it and say that the Grateful Dead's music represented a certain style and way of approaching music, and how has that influenced how you play music?
Well, you know, maybe what you're getting at is, you know, the same thing that made me as a enthusiast of music want to go see bands like the Grateful Dead or Modesky, Martin and Wood, or Phish. I know they're not from San Francisco, but you know, Modesky, Martin and Wood kind of carrying on kind of a jazz tradition, but I think that line also influenced the Grateful Dead in just making every performance unique and taking each performance of a song to a new place, and there's something about being present at that moment that is exciting and inspiring and what we live for.
Yeah, I'll take a shot at it. The band you mentioned and the sound coming out of Northern California at the time, to me, represented a flexibility in art that was prevalent throughout the culture at that time, which was different than the music of the 50s, which was more highly arranged. You know, I think music expresses someone's world, and I think the music of Northern California was expressing what was going on in the culture at that time, which was breaking out of the restrictions, not just in art, but all kinds of restrictions that had come from the decade of the 50s right before that.
Absolutely. Thanks for
Well said.
Me as a young man, I was breaking out of my own molds, and so the sound of what was happening in Northern California just resonated with how I was feeling.
Yeah, thanks for putting that into words, Greg. That was what I was getting at, and thanks for being flexible on that question. Greg, you are a founding member of the Bay Area band Zero, which began performing, as I understand, in the mid-80s, which was a time when rock and free music wasn't necessarily considered mainstream or in the forefront of mainstream popularity. So what inspired you and your co-creators to play with an improvisational spirit despite the mainstream?
That was our spirit. Believe it or not, we thought we were mainstream. And we were just playing what we knew how to play and expressing who we were at the time through our music.
Very cool. Stu, as I remember seeing you perform with the Melvin Seals and the JGB band some years ago, I thought it was fascinating that you, being from a different place in music and a different generation than the original Garcia band, were able to just integrate and listen and play with Melvin Seals on that level so naturally. Can you talk about your time playing with Melvin Seals and the music of Jerry Garcia and how it changed how you play?
It was music that I fell in love with immediately and more over time. And, you know, as I would attend more concerts and was opened up, you know, progressively to what it was all about. And just really, really resonated with me. So I felt like, you know, that's really what music was all about for me at the time. And so, you know, it became what I wanted to do with music. So, and it was, it's just a supreme pleasure to play with, you know, a cat with the chops and the delivery that, that Melvin Seals has. He is the maestro. And it's inspiring to be on stage with him, because he's a guy who can take a performance to a new place. And that's inspiring when you're playing with a guy like that, because that's what you all want to do.
Absolutely, you want to keep it real. And Melvin and Merle Saunders' style and sound was such an integral part of Garcia Band's music and how they approached it. And at any rate, let's shift to the current. You two are part of an exciting band called The Rock Collection that's finally making its way off of the West Coast and gigging in Quixote's True Blue in Denver. How did The Rock Collection come to be?
About 2 or 3 years ago, I got offered a gig at the Oregon Country Fair, which is about my favorite gig in the country. And they contacted me and says, why don't you put something together this year? And so I put together some guys, and we called it The Rock Collection and performed with a different lineup than the current lineup. Back then it was Lebo and Mark Caron and Paul Lamb. And we did that gig, and then we had so much fun, we did some more gigs, and then the lineup has just kind of organically shifted to the current lineup, which is Stu Allen and Dan Lebowitz, Melvin Seals, Reed Mathis, and myself. And by the way, we're performing at the Oregon Country Fair again this year with that new lineup on July 13th.
Very cool. And speaking of the band and its current formation, as I understand it, Reed is the newest member of the Rock Collection. Been a fan of his work through various projects throughout the years. How is playing with him as opposed to Robin Sylvester and others that have been in the band? How is he bringing his own style?
Well, let me just say that Robin Sylvester is currently very busy with Bob Weir and Rat Dog, and so Reed graciously stepped up and has been playing with us, and they're just two of the best electric bass players playing, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm just honored to play with either of them, and right now it's Reed. He's doing a great job.
Absolutely. And, Greg, as I understand it, you co-wrote many of these songs with poet and musician Robert Hunter. Can you just talk a little about your experience of working creatively with Hunter on the new tracks?
Well, I met Hunter years ago playing with Keith and Donna Godshow, and Hunter, played drums. And then Hunter mentioned to me that Zero was a great band, but it might even be greater if we had some songs. So I said, you got any? And he said, sure. And he started writing songs for Zero. Then with other projects that I've been involved with, I've co-written songs with him, and I continue to do so periodically. And the Rock Collection is just the perfect vehicle for those songs. We have two great singers, Stu and Lebo, and they deliver, they're real familiar with singing Robert Hunter lyrics, and they deliver them, they do a great job delivering those lyrics.
Very cool. Yeah, I didn't, I guess I was not aware that Hunter wrote for Zero as well. The relationship goes far back. I find it so fascinating that both of you have this ability to play with so many different diverse musicians and create cohesive jams, songs, and movements. What draws you to this open format of performing?
All the chicks.
Being accessible to others, really. Making yourself accessible to playing with other people, you know. Just really promotes your own growth as a musician. And, we're all traveling together, learning from each other. Trying to see where it goes.
Very cool. So it looks like, as far as I can tell, the Rock Collection hasn't played in Colorado this weekend at Quixote True Blue will be the debut performances. What made you choose Denver and Quixote as your first off the West Coast gigs in a while?
Well, actually, Dylan, the Rock Collection with a different lineup played in Denver, I'm guessing about a year ago. And now
different
we're
lineup.
Coming back. Yeah. Jay Bianchi is a promoter in Denver, and he's just a wonderful guy and just a great supporter of improvisational music, and he just makes it happen there. He couldn't do it without us, but we certainly couldn't do it without him, and he supports a lot of different bands and all kinds of music, and just makes it happen and brings the music to Colorado as much as any promoter out there I know.
And he's a good reason why Denver's such a good town for music. He's supported the scene there. And I, for one, will be glad to be playing there again. Denver's always been good to me. And it's been, since probably 2010 or 11 since I've been there, so. Looking forward to it.
Very cool, guys. Well, Denver is certainly looking forward to having the newest formation of this continuing musical family of fantastic musicians. I wanted to thank both of you so much for your time. Without getting convoluted, that's pretty much all the questions I have for you guys. It was a real pleasure chatting with you and really excited about the shows coming up. Wanted to encourage Grateful Web readers and Colorado fans to make it to Quixote's True Blue this Friday and Saturday for the Rock Collection. And until then, guys, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Dylan.
Of course, it's a pleasure. I'll see you guys on Friday or Saturday. Take care.
Okay,
yeah. Guys. Thanks a lot.
Later. Thank you so much, Greg. Thank you, Steve. Take care. Bye.